Hi, everyone. I'm Jane Ray here with my fabulous podcast partner,
Andrea Stein. Jane, great to see you.
You too. And welcome to another episode of Joyous Journeys Over 60. I hope your journeys this past week have been fulfilling and fabulous. How are you doing, Andreas? Now you're
Getting over a cold. So if you hear a little cracking in my voice, I'm kind of on the tail end of it, you know, so not back to 100%. But overall, I'm feeling quite good.
If you notice, we're both in like sweatshirts and hoodies in Florida. It's cold here. I mean, by our definition of cold, maybe not in your definition of cold, but we're very, very climatized. This morning it was 42. Sunday, with the wind chill, I heard it's going to be like 29 Fahrenheit. So again, you have to kind of think of that in terms of Floridian. For us, that's like minus 10, right?
Yeah.
We're dragging out. I have more winter clothes this year than I have ever had before. I mean, you can't see, but I'm wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt. And this morning I took the dog out with a hoodie on and gloves.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we look like little Eskimos.
Any temperature below 70 is unacceptable.
Well, in the morning, yeah. I mean, no kidding. If you've lived in Florida for any sense of time, any temperature below 50 is Arctic winter for us. And we know that a lot of folks have recently really had some pretty serious storms. So hasn't snowed here in Fort Myers, but did snow in Pensacola. So there you go. So today, I think we're going to take a little bit of a step back and talk about pre-retirement. You know, there's this term that's floating out there on social, pre-retirement. Financial advisors have been using that term a lot, mostly to talk about preparing your money and your retirement assets for when you do retire. But for us, I kind of want to focus, Andreas, a little bit on if I knew then what I know now about the emotional side of retirement. I'd be a little surprised, right, that some of the emotions that came up were completely unexpected. Now, you're not that close to retirement.
I am not that close. I'm, 54 and a half or so. So I realistically still have, 10 years at least to go or something like this. But it's close enough, that I start to think every so often about it, what I could do to be prepared, what I need to do to be prepared, and to just listen to people. So, Jane, you're on the other side of the Golden River. You have reached the promised land of retirement. You look back. What advice, what would you tell me to be on the lookout for, to be prepared for? What advice would you give someone like me who still has a few years to go to get to the promised land?
Well, certainly I think most of the preparation that's discussed universally is preparing yourself in terms of, what your finances are gonna look like, where you're gonna live, things like getting fit, right? So that you're in the best shape ever when you retire. Looking at, what your insurance situation is going to be like, whether you're going to go into Medicare when you're 65 or if you're going to retire before 65, all of those practicalities. And when you get close to retirement, you get flooded with lots of information and reach outs from financial advisors and from Medicare agents and, from you go on YouTube and you look at all the fitness videos of people over 60. And that's important. I mean, not minimizing the importance of that. I think what people don't expect is that there is an emotional transition from when you are a worker to when you're retired and you have all of this freedom that when you envision it, before you retire, you're thinking, well, okay, this is gonna be great. I don't report to anybody. I can sleep late. I can play golf or tennis or, hang around in my pajamas all day. I could do whatever the heck I want when I've really pretty much been tethered to my job, my boss, my family. It's not like you don't have your family, but, all of that. And then suddenly you have this vision of what retirement's going to look like. And let's assume that you've planned your money and where you're going to live and all of that stuff, right? You have this vision and you get there And your heart is happy, but your heart is also confused, right? I mean, there's so many emotions. We were talking before we recorded about roller coasters. It is a roller coaster of emotions. We both said we hate roller coasters.
We
So
do.
there you
I do
go,
not like
right?
roller coasters,
Yeah.
no.
It is a roller coaster of emotions, and there's a surprise there that it isn't like you sail into retirement smoothly and easily, with no regrets, with no fears, with no insecurities. I mean, all of those things come up, whether you're married, whether you're on your own. It just, humans are going to feel what they're going to feel, and it was very, very surprising to me that I had so many emotions and different emotions on different days.
Let me ask you this, Jane, from advice from the promised land. Now, I love what I'm doing. As a pastor, I enjoy it. I mean, there's bad days, obviously, and but for the most part, it excites me. It fires me up. It gives me a reason. I'm a morning person to get up at 4 a.m. I love that. And as soon as I am up, what are the things I can do, I need to do? It creates this genuine excitement of enthusiasm, dopamine rush, and then of course it comes down on the other side of the Golden River, in the Promised Land. What provides that kind of emotional excitement, this kind of dopamine rush? What does it provide for you?
I think in the beginning, it comes from just that sense of freedom. Now, remember, in most cases, not in my case, but in most cases, you choose to retire, right? So it is a choice. And in most cases, you pick a retirement date. Right. So you
Right.
have enough time in advance to be able to, think about that, to wind down from whatever your work was. But you have to realize that, well, like you just said, Andreas, your sense of identity is very much tied to that feeling that you had when you were working, that sense of excitement. Now, maybe you're bored with your job. Maybe you're just over it. Right. Maybe you just
Right.
can't wait to retire because you don't feel the way that you describe. But I think that because most people choose to retire, their first emotion is going to be, ah,
Yeah.
right? And then wait a week, wait a month, wait a couple of months, and that emotion changes, right? Because all of that energy you were pouring into your pride, forget your work and what you actually did, the pride in what you were doing, the engagement you had with other people, the successes you had, and even some of the failures, all that energy is still there. And I think there's a restlessness that retired people feel that they don't know what to do with it, because they're not pouring it into that. Some choose to go back to work. Many choose to volunteer, and I think that's a great way to take your energy and pour it into something, that's meaningful to you. For me, my suggestion would be find something maybe new that you're not great at or you've been interested in and you never really had a chance to explore it further. Find something new that you can start to feel those small senses of accomplishment. Because it's the sense of accomplishment, I think, that really helps you into retirement. I'll just say one more thing. One of the things that was bad for me when I retired, and I delayed retirement because of it, is I didn't really feel like I had any hobbies. Work was my
Yeah.
hobby, right? And so I was afraid, like my husband plays golf, and so he plays golf 3 times a week. He's really happy to do that. He came into retirement knowing that he plays golf. I came into retirement knowing I'm not crafty. I don't have the patience to sit and play cards. Like, so I really had to find something new. And I thought it was going to be this volunteer work that I was doing with SCORE. And I said, SCORE's a great organization, but it wasn't it. It wasn't, I don't know, I didn't feel that same feeling. And I found a couple of other things.
Now, I understand, Jane, that since retirement you've become kind of an art collector. Is that kind of that provides excitement for you, collecting art?
It drains my wallet. Actually, we're accidental art collectors because you start on a cruise by going to the auction and getting the free crappy champagne, and the next thing you know, you're hanging stuff on your walls. So it wasn't art. Actually, for me, it was a couple of things. This podcast, definitely one of them. Talking to you about this gap that I felt that is there for retirees, and we don't talk about our feelings. Gardening, I like gardening. I'm not really good at it. So every time something grows that I can eat and is actually edible, I feel small senses of accomplishment, sometimes senses of failure, but isn't that how you built, your
Yes.
success anyhow? And then a little bit of tennis, something I had done when I was younger, and I keep working at it again, ups and downs and sideways, and but finding a place to channel that energy. And when I say that energy, something that you look at videos about, like I look at videos about gardening. I
Yes.
look at, how do you do a podcast? Something that engages your heart but also engages your mind. And again, think about when you started whatever career you had. You had to start at the bottom, right?
Right.
And every time you felt like you had moved to the next level, there was a really good sense of accomplishment. So it is finding, it's not denying, first of all, that that energy needs to be channeled. I think that's the biggest problem retirees face, is that they hold on to the past. They don't know, or they're afraid to try something new. And so they stall. And then you become bored and frustrated and anxious. That retirement isn't what you thought it was going to be. You just kind of stagnate. Try something, whatever it is, try something. You may not be good at it, or it may not be the right thing, but you try
You know,
something.
it's a beauty for of everyday life. It sounds a little bit generic, but this excitement about something, and then sometimes there's yes, the excitement leads to success, and sometimes the excitement leads to disappointment because it didn't work out, and then you pick yourself up and try it again, or try something different, but it's this emotional flow, that reaches high, it goes low, and it's amazing, it's wonderful, and for me, looking ahead to retirement, I would love to continue to have that experience, probably in a different field, the sense of, wow, I did this, this is excitement, let me try this, it didn't work out. For me, kind of the fear about retirement would be that everything is kind of, gray, steady, one flat line, not that the flat line is horrible, but it is those swings that that make life fascinating.
Well, flatline means you're dead, so it's not necessarily a good thing, right?
Right.
But I think also to set the expectation is that every day is different, right? So
Yeah.
you don't wake up excited every day. You
No.
don't wake up knowing what you're going to do today. You go through so many different emotions. Being insecure about your capabilities, worrying about your physical side of it, worrying that you're not good enough anymore. Just worrying is a very, very common emotion in retirement. I think that boredom, even if you try something new, it isn't something you necessarily can do every single day of every minute of every day. So there are days where you just don't know what to do with yourself. And then there are depression days where you feel
Right.
like, the best of whoever you were is behind you instead of in front of you. And so you have to expect. And you probably felt that way before you retired, where you had just good days, bad days, days you just couldn't pin why you weren't feeling, you were just feeling blue. I think because you have more time to think when you're retired and you have less routine.
I think right now, Jane, if I have a boring day or hours or whatever else, I almost, oh, it's kind of enjoying because I know it's not gonna last. This is not gonna be the rest of, tomorrow will be different. So it's like, Okay, I kind of really enjoy being bored, because I do, and yeah, there obviously everyone feels down, depressed, at times, and at this stage, I'm not getting excited about it or concerned about it because I know the next phone call, the next, work-related issue will change all of that stuff, and for me, this is kind of all right. Once I get into the promised land, is it just going to be continuous golden boredom, or I want to continue to have these emotional excitements and am I, and so I want to know if there's boredom, that this is just a day and not just a common melody of this is how it's going to be now moving forward.
But what if you're bored for a week or a month, or you know what I mean? Like you just haven't found whatever that is. And so I'm just trying to set the expectation
Yeah.
that I think we're not prepared for the fact that it's not going to be boring continuously unless you let it be boring,
Yeah,
right? And
that's a good
there's that.
point.
But it's not like work where you were bored on the weekend and Monday morning you went back to work and you know life happened and the phone call came and what if the phone call doesn't come when you're retired? So
Right.
I guess the message is that you have to be prepared for the fact that mentally you're going to feel a lot of different emotions on
Yeah.
any given day. But I
Yeah.
think the other part of it is that you have to be brave enough. And I use the word brave. You have to be brave enough to find something that sparks your interest, right? It doesn't have to be something you're passionate about. It's something that sparks your interest, something that you're interested in exploring. And it doesn't have to be physical like tennis, or it doesn't have to be something like a podcast, or it could be, you know, you always wanted to learn how to crochet, or you always wanted to read, you know, something about history. A woman I met just started studying wine. Because not to sell wine, not to make money at it, but just to understand how wine is grown and the science behind it and whatever. So there's all sorts of different things, but you have to just kind of allow yourself kind of a childlike approach,
Yeah.
right? That when you were a child, you would try different things until you found something that you were interested in or good at. But it's up to you. Nobody's going to tell you at this stage what to do. Your boss told you what to do. Probably
Right.
your kids told you what to do,
Yeah.
right? Your spouse may have told you what to do, but there was routine. At this stage of your life, there's less routine, if any, right? And you don't want your life to just be filled with doctor appointments and Netflix binges. You know what I mean? Like there's a point where you have to tell you what you're going to do. And you have to be prepared that it is not a flat line, right? That it is going to be that horrible roller coaster. Again, we don't like roller coasters, but that horrible roller coaster where you get to the top and you're all excited and then you drop down and the adrenaline comes and you really want off this ride, right? And then it goes up again, right? So I think if I knew then what I know now, I might be not prepared because you're never prepared for emotions, but I think I might accept the fact that after that honeymoon stage, which most people go through, there's going to be something where I have to propel myself. Does that make sense? I mean, again, I can see because you know now I know you well enough to know that you have a lot of energy. And in the beginning, you're going to be all excited about something that you're doing, and then there's going to be days where, you know, you're not doing that, and you're going to have to figure out how you're going to fill those days. And maybe you fill those days binging Netflix, you know what I mean, or reading a book, or doing something else. But it is a
But
very
like with binging Netflix, if you have a horribly frustrating day or nothing went right, you binge watch whatever, and it takes your mind off, and that's good. But if every day is a binge party of whatever episodes there or whatever show there is, now that would be a little, I don't know, frustrating, So, but once in a while, binge watching till 2 a.m., whatever it is, it's not a bad thing, right?
it's not a bad thing. I'm just going to end with one more thing because I think it's important. So when you retire, you call into the promised land, right? And so everybody who's not retired
Considers it's a promised land.
considers it a promised land, and it is in so many ways. I mean, it's the time of your life where you have total freedom, good and bad. But everybody's going to ask you, so how's retirement life treating you? And your answer is always going to be,
I'm busy.
I'm busy, it's great, I'm happy, even if you're not, right? And now you nobody wants to hear, oh, I'm miserable, or but accept the fact that it's not always going to be great, and it's but there are going to be times that it's amazing, right? It's going to be amazing. And so, like life itself, it's going there are going to be highs and lows, and I think understanding that it's not the promised land, but it's not purgatory either, right? That it's somewhere that, again, you're going to have amazing times, and you're also going to have days that you don't know what to do with yourself, and that's okay, right? That's okay. So hopefully the practicalities are important, but everyone understands that you're going to feel amazing joy and happiness, and some days maybe not so much.
Looking from this side of the river, you're not gonna talk me out of considering retirement a promised land. It's the land where milk and honey flows down the river, and everything is perfect.
Well, I will tell you, I'm now 3 years in. The first year was very hard because, I was a formerly important person, right? And so I didn't know what to do with myself. My identity was just messed up. I will tell you, 3 years in, I'm really, really happy in retirement. I don't, I,
Awesome.
you couldn't pay me to go back to work. So yeah, it is a transition, right? And I said I could not be happier in my retirement. You just have to recognize that it's not the promised land necessarily from the beginning.
So you were a successful businesswoman, and now you're a successful retiree.
Exactly. I am a very successful retiree.
Awesome.
And I'm not a successful tennis player, I'm not a successful golfer, but I am a successful retiree, and it took a little while to get there. So
That is
that
quite inspirational to me because, obviously, everyone defines success differently, and what it means to you is probably different than it would be for me. But there is something like I'm a successful retiree,
we should
and
get
that's
pigs.
something I'm aspiring to
Yeah,
be
we should
a
get pigs. I
successful
am a successful
retiree.
retiree.
There we go.
Anyhow, for those of you listening, first of all, a reminder, please join our Facebook group. It's a safe place to talk about what it's like to be a successful retiree, or maybe you're going through some of the emotional challenges that come with the first few years. Second of all, we're going to be doing more season two and really diving into some good feelings. So I hope you'll stay tuned. And then I think finally, that's what we wish for you, right, Andreas? We wish for you to be a successful, happy, and joyous retiree. And hopefully listening to these episodes is giving you some inspiration to get there.
I can't wait to pitch my tent in the
All right.
land.
Anyhow, thanks everybody, and
Thank
more
you.
episodes coming soon. Take care, Andreas.
Thank you, Jane.
All right, bye.